Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The term that I've used is pole position.
It's time for Pole's Position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Poles do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Did it.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Congratulations. Woo! You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Two picks, wow.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
9999. So I listen to Pole's Position for the last 3 months, every single day, because apparently I don't need to get anywhere with my life. And it's been fantastic.
Sit back and watch them go.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select
the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Oh, yeah, the Pole's Position. Anthony Herron was rocking out to that. That song slaps, doesn't it?
It's my favorite work of Chris Hanahan's.
It's the one?
It is, yep.
99999!
That part especially.
Anytime we can mix Hitler with a video theme song. Mm. You know what I mean? Were you a Pole Position guy? A driver?
I thought you were about to ask me if I was a Hitler guy.
No.
Am I a Pole Position guy? I didn't get to play it a lot. We didn't do a bunch of video. I really thought that was about to come out of your mouth. I didn't play a lot of video games as a kid.
Oh, really?
But there was a cartoon associated with it.
Oh, yes.
And so I would hear the theme song to the cartoon.
Got you.
In my head quite a bit back in the day.
You were out there playing sports, which is why you turned into an outstanding athlete.
Designated Hitler.
That guy. Now he's a fan. But Anthony Herron, you turned into a big time college football player, an NFL player, arena league player. Arena League coach, too? Do I have
also
that right?
Coach, yep. Executive, yeah. You name it. I've done it.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And Anthony knows a lot about the football. I love getting a chance to pick your brain. So we thought we'd hang out in Pole's Position a little bit today, and I wanted to throw some of the recent topics at you to delve into your thoughts about
them. Okay, good.
Okay.
And trust me, if they've been topics over the last 3 weeks that have already been covered here, I haven't heard them. So they're going to be fresh to me.
No, that's all good. And,
yeah.
And really what it is, I mean, look, Pole's is in a spot. We know Caleb is one. Mm-hmm. And then we start thinking about what nine is going to be all about.
All right.
If I told you that Roma Dunze was available at 9, are you running to the podium and taking him? Are you going wide receiver?
It depends who else is on the board. I would love for the Bears to get some edge rush help there. And there are some guys that could be available there around the top 10 who I think could be worthy of that.
And okay, so let's say it right now. If Roma Dunze and Dallas Turner are both there at 9, what is your decision if you're Ryan Pohl?
I'd go Roma Dunze. I'd go Roma Dunze over Dallas Turner because I don't think Dallas Turner is the fit as a defensive end for the Bears. Dallas Turner is an exceptional edge rusher. He, to me, feels more like a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be more like an odd front rush from a two-point stance guy as opposed to the four-down look that the Bears tend to run. So I don't love Dallas Turner as much in fitting the Matt Eberflus defensive scheme as an edge defender. That to me is it's not a complete square peg round hole, but it doesn't fit as well what the Bears do.
Is there an edge rusher that you do love as a perfect fit opposite Montez Sweat?
I'm a Jared Verse guy.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about it. Guy played 5 years of college football.
Mm-hmm.
I forget where he started. It was somewhere small before he ended
Getting to Florida State.
Yeah, before he ended up at Florida State. Tell us what you like about Dallas Turner as a fit in the Tampa 2.
He is the most the most natural edge, like defensive end, just hand in the dirt guy who can set the edge as a run defender, who can rush the quarterback, both turning the corner and turning speed to power as well. So he's got a, you know, fairly varied toolbox. He's not as fluid of a finesse rusher as Laiatu Latu is, you know, coming out of UCLA. Different styles of player. Latu, also a guy who's really more of a 3-4 outside backer. He's got more experience with his hand in the dirt than Dallas Turner does. Dallas Turner's just more of a raw, moldable lump of clay who's an exceptional athlete with a lot of pass rush game. He can throw a fastball at you turning the corner, but he doesn't have the all-around rush bag that you really hope for a guy who's going to be drafted in the top 10. And again, he just hasn't had his hand in the dirt as much. Jared Verse has. Jared Verse has done that. I would prefer if they could trade down from 9.
I was just going to say, because at 9, I mean, is Jared Verse the kind of player?
I don't think any of them are. I don't love any of the edge rushing defenders at number 9. The one who has the physical profile. There's two to me that have the physical profile that you say, yeah, maybe that makes sense. Dallas Turner, physical profile could really make a lot of sense. Chop Robinson, just the pure physical profile, could make a lot of sense. He doesn't have the overall production that you would hope for. So to me, if you trade down even further into the teens, you know, Jared Verse probably isn't going to get past like 12 or 13, I don't think. I think he's, from guys I've talked to and just my evaluation of him, he's a really well-regarded guy. Just his film, his tape, is that's a high-level defensive end, not pure outside linebacker pass rushing guy to the extent that some others are. But pure four-down defensive end,
yeah,
that's Jared Verse more so than some of the others.
All right, now, I love Chop Robinson as an athletic marvel, but is he a fit? Is he a fit schematically? I thought he's more similar to Turner, like you're talking about, like a speed guy off the edge, a Von Miller
type.
He's
a speed guy, but he's had his hand in the dirt. There is a difference. You know, when you're going to be tasked with it, there was a, you know, obviously Leonard Floyd. We covered his career a lot with the Bears.
Yes, he was
a guy who got drafted in the top 10 to come in and immediately solve the Bears' pass rush ails. That was a problem because that's not who he was in college and it's not who he ended up projecting to in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Floyd has had a put a really nice career together and put up nice sack numbers as a Swiss Army knife, as a guy in coverage, as a run defender, as a pass rusher with some skill to do that that's really developed over time. That, to me, is more Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner is that. He's more Leonard Floyd archetype than just a guy who you better double-team him or he's going to wreck your evening, you know, as a pass rusher off the corner.
Yeah.
Dallas Turner, more comparable to Leonard Floyd. I think Jared Verse, a true defensive end. Chop Robinson, true defensive end at Penn State with his hand in the dirt, setting the edge against the run. Now, the scheme that they ran with Manny Diaz as the defensive coordinator, yes, there was a lot of attack. There was a lot of flying up the field, but that equates to what Matt Eberflus would like to do. You know, you do need to be able to be gap conscious within the Bears' defensive scheme, but you need to apply force into blockers while maintaining your gap. But they still want you getting into the backfield. There's just not as much movement and stunting on rundowns in this NFL four-down front as opposed to what Chop Robinson did in college.
Okay, I want to go to the middle of the defensive line in a second, but let's stay on the edge. I have seen Laiatu Latu anywhere from 9 or 10 in the draft to like 28 or 30 in the draft in a wide variety of mocks, and I'm trying to figure out, that's a pretty volatile range.
Yeah.
When you talk about an edge rusher. So it's hard to get excited about it because I'm not sure exactly what I'm looking at. Where do you think he is?
Laiatu Latu is kind of the defensive line version of J.J. McCarthy, where J.J. McCarthy might be a top 5 pick. J.J. McCarthy might be somewhere in the low 20s, you know, because the film is promising while at the same time the overall draft profile, there's enough to be hesitant about when drafting him. There's, of course, the injury concerns from early in his career.
Yeah, multiple injuries that cost him full seasons.
Cost him full seasons, had medical professionals saying you should never play football again. Now, Jalen Phillips ended up finishing his career at UCLA and came back after being told to retire. And, you know, he ended up, deciding to come back. He finishes began his career at UCLA, finished at Miami, and has gone on to have a nice career in the National Football League. He got a couple of injuries, but just a long, angular, you know, edge rusher, outside linebacker, defensive end type. Laiatu Latu ends up finishing his career at UCLA after being told early in his career that he should maybe retire from football, but put together a couple of healthy seasons. His film is this naturally fluid, very versatile sort of pass rusher. He can bring speed. He can bring counters. He's not the imposing physical profile that you hope for a top 10 pick. but just as a pure finesse pass rusher, there's no one as varied and as skilled and as fluid as Leao Tulatu comparing with anyone else in the draft. But he's just not as imposing, explosive with speed or power. Now, his 40 time was nice. His 40 time will help him in his perception with a number of people. But that doesn't always show with the explosive speed on film.
All right, so you wouldn't be that psyched about him as a top 10 pick. Or even
not as a top 10 pick. No.
Top 15.
Even after the combine numbers. I was pleasantly surprised with the combine numbers because that made him some money. But no, he to me is not someone. Top 10 pick to me is you want them to come in and have stud written all over them. Now, you got no guarantees about that. But a Darnell Wright who looks like they belong. There's going to be rookie mistakes, but look like they belong from day one. You're hoping for that in the top 10.
So would you consider Byron Murphy? Would you consider the three tech, the interior defensive tackle from Texas, Byron Murphy, at 9? Or even if you traded down, you're there at 12 or 13.
I mean, there's potential there because there's some boom or bust to it. You know, because the physical profile looks like a guy who can play some high-level three technique. And there are certain games where Byron Murphy does look like that real havoc wreaker that you hope for on the interior of a defensive front like this that can get into the backfield, that plays with violence, that can explode into blockers and close on guys with a flat back and just dent the line of scrimmage consistently. That's not their snap in and snap out. So certain film, you put it on and say, yeah, that's a definite top 10, maybe top 5 pick. Every game doesn't look like that from him, though. So it's worthy of being concerned. But for the Bears, where, you know, they need to hope for hitting on a guy with that number 9 pick. So Roma Dunze is the safer bet. You know, let's assume Marvin Harrison Jr. is off the board. One of these top 3 receivers, that is the safer bet at number 9.
Yeah.
But to me, you know, by comparison to what the Bears need, they don't need a third or fourth receiver as much as they would need another speed rusher. And that's where if you can get good value to trade out of the top 10 and still get a Jared Verse or maybe down a little lower, a Chop Robinson with a big physical profile for a Chop Robinson, then maybe you just say, here's your one role. Do that. We'll find somebody else to hit blocks on first and second down. You wreak havoc on third down because we just don't have someone else to do that opposite Montez Sweat.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you trade well out of number 9 and still get a guy with a big physical profile there.
Damn. All right, so I'm hearing you on the defensive front. It sounds like if Adunze's gone or if they decide they want to go defense – then maybe the trade down makes the most sense because you just gave us a bunch of names, and I agree that a bunch of those different players could be a fit, and if they pick one they like and they think they can get them at 13, 14, 15 or whatever, but, you know, obviously somebody has to want to trade up. What if they're locked in on wideout, and what if they're locked in on this idea of Keenan Allen's only here for 1 year, we're not going to be up here in this range too much more, you know? I mean, do you dare consider...
But if Joe Alt is there at 9, do you really lock yourself in on wide? I mean, in
an
example world,
if
they are.
I think Alt's going to be gone.
Sure, he might be. But if J.J. McCarthy goes there, then it knocks other guys down. If somebody does love the pass rusher, he might. And, if, you know, how many receivers are we in love with at that point,
so
too?
If it's Alt,
guys could get knocked down.
If it's Alt and Adunze are both there?
Then I would go Alt.
I would
err on the side of offensive tackle over receiver.
Is there another tackle that you would do that same with? Either Fatanu out of Washington or Latu from Penn State? Would you consider that over wide receiver? Like, are either one of those?
I feel strongest about Joe Alt being a day one ready guy. And this is a day one ready type season for the Bears. We're past just taking flyers. Guys got to come in and be ready to help you win games in this season, especially with a rookie quarterback. So I think Joe Alt, he can come in and help you day one. I'm not as certain about the other guys. If you trade out of number 9, Olu Fashanu, again, going physical profile. You trade out of the top 10, that's where I'm more comfortable with you reaching. You go down to like 15 or so, Olu Fashanu's physical profile out of Penn State is the most elite physical profile of any offensive tackle in this draft. And then you compare him with Braxton Jones and say, you know what? Braxton Jones, we've seen you start a lot of games. You can be dependable. And then if it's not working or if Olu Fashanu bypasses you at some point, now you got multiple guys there and Jones maybe becomes your swing tackle. Whereas Joe Alt comes in right away, you know that's your starter day one and Jones immediately becomes your swing tackle.
See, I'm a guy, I'm okay with the idea of a trade down, even if Odunze is there. Like, go ahead and trade down, get that defensive piece, and get a wide receiver as well in this draft, with other stuff that you pick up, because there are wide receivers that I like a little further down.
Heard you talk a lot of Keon Coleman.
Keon Coleman, Adonai Mitchell. I think this is, there are a lot of wideouts in this draft. I think there's going to be a lot of wideouts in next year's draft, too, and stuff like that.
And the draft after that.
Yeah, but I mean, do you have any that you like beyond Adunze that you feel that good about? Or if Adunze's there, and I want a wide receiver, am I an idiot for considering the trade down still?
No, I think that.
Thank you. I'm not an idiot.
You're not an idiot.
Good night, everybody.
The top three.
All right. See you later.
But the top three, I do think there's some separation in my mind between the top three and the rest of the crew.
Anybody that you would think about trading up for? Anybody that you would dare, like next year's second round
not
pick that you got
Keenan
from
Allen
Carolina?
Move. Not after the Keenan Allen move. For a receiver, not after Keenan Allen.
Neighbors or even Marvin?
It feels gluttonous to me to do that. I don't think you need to be gluttonous at receiver. You still have other holes. You still need a more solidified offensive line. You still need another edge rusher or three. So to me, it's still about either getting someone you feel like will come in and contribute right away, or someone with a big profile that you think will develop quickly into a real contributor for you, as opposed to just saying, let's get gluttonous in that wideout room. It doesn't feel necessary.
Okay. This hour on 670 The Score on Parkins and Spiegel, we're going to check in with the Midday Show and see what exciting things they've been up to in Vegas. We're going to revisit our
like
lead.
A live feed of them partying?
Yeah,
is that
do.
What we're about to hear?
We're
going to
revisit the part of our lead from earlier in the day, the O.J. Simpson the archetypal American life with the fall from grace and everything. Got some incredible input from you listeners that we will share in our next segment. But you told me that earlier today you were involved in a big Caleb Williams breakdown as you worked at the Big Ten Network.
Uh-huh.
Was that live today or were you just taping something?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So what did you learn?
Cameras and everything.
Oh, fancy. What did you learn? What did you glean from that process that would be good for our listeners to know in terms of dissecting Caleb? Because USC is now essentially a Big Ten team.
Right. They're basically a Big Ten squad. A couple months from now, they'll officially be Big Ten
nice
squad.
Sure, nice fudge by
we're
you
working
guys.
On it. Right. Yeah. But the way that Caleb plays the game is to me, I think the bigger concern where I would like his game to mature. I have more concern about that, more query about that than I do anything that's going on off the field. I've talked about that on this show a bit before. But the film of Caleb Williams, when you're really looking at how he plays quarterback, the maturity that needs to take place has to happen within the pocket. And if that does take place, I think that, Matt Eberflus as his head coach, being a defensive-minded guy and, knowing that he wants to run the football, that's all useful to a young quarterback. But where Caleb is special is beyond the X's and O's. Where Caleb is special is doing the things that are more improvisational, but where he needs to become more consistent is the way he operates within the pocket. And that's where a team and a roster, a front office, and a bunch of players who've kind of been through the amount of losing the Bears have been through in recent years, bringing a rookie quarterback in to refine Caleb Williams as quickly as possible will be a part of the task here, because there are certain guys like Matt Eberflus, like Caleb, can manage a step back for the Bears this season because he'll be here for years to come. Matt Eberflus can't. And so that, to me, will be, I think, a unique sort of juxtaposition for Matt Eberflus.
What do you mean he can't manage? Like, if they take a step back, his job security is in trouble?
I don't think 5 wins gets it done for Matt Eberflus this season. 5 wins will be fine, and if Caleb Williams throws for a lot of passing yards and turns it over a bunch,
sure,
then Caleb Williams will be fine if he has highlights and everything else.
If that happens, though, then we're in, a lot of Bears fans' nightmare scenario where you're firing the head coach again, and thereby
the
maybe
going into year two.
Right, and maybe the offensive coordinator as well.
That to me is the bigger risk that Ryan Poles has taken here, is sticking with Matt Eberflus with the young quarterback incoming. That's a bigger risk than moving on at QB.
Okay.
Because now you're saddling your QB with this lame duck head coach.
If that were to happen and the offense is actually looking pretty good, like Caleb's looking pretty good, but somehow they fall back on defense or there's some other issues or that kind of thing, but you're feeling pretty good about the offense, Thomas Brown, possible head coach. Year two. Thoughts?
I mean, we're just looking for assistance on the staff to be a head coach.
It's not Shane Waldron. It's not Shane Waldron.
Yeah, it's someone below Shane Waldron. I mean, No, that doesn't speak to me as the guy who will lead the Bears to a championship. Now, there's some meat on the bone there. He may develop into that, but
awfully,
from what I know so far,
awfully respected coach around these parts.
Yeah, a lot of position coaches are very well respected as position coaches.
Yeah, what do you know? What'd you ever do in football, Mr. Man? All right, one more question. quarterback room. Are you okay if this is the quarterback room? If the quarterback room is Caleb and then Tyson Bagent as your backup that you feel like can get you through a game and can learn systems and is totally happy in that role. And then Brett Rypien is your old head, even though he's not that old. But he's the guy who knows Shane Waldron's system. They spent time in Seattle together last year. Rippin's been around the league a little while. Are you okay with that as your quarterback room, or do you need some other veteran to back them
up? You could certainly upgrade it, but is it passable? Is it survivable, assuming health? Sure. You know, assuming health of Caleb, then none of it matters. You just want some good voices in Caleb's ear. And in addition to Shane Waldron, from everything I'm hearing, what I'm being told, everything he did out in Seattle and elsewhere, we'll need to ramp up the demanding nature of his coaching style to really, you know, try to refine Caleb Williams' game. Then to have a veteran in the room who can help parse through some of that for a young quarterback will matter. Is that Brett Rypien? I don't know his personality well enough to say that that's the benefit he brings.
Yeah,
but
none of us do.
Yeah.
You're right. That's honest.
Yeah.
We don't know him yet. You know, we don't even know too many reports of him. All right, good stuff. Anthony Herron is the man who helped us through polls position today, which is brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need us. Thank you to Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. Well, it happened. I've angered the Fatty Arbuckle people. They've come out. They're upset with me. I apparently butchered my Fatty Arbuckle information.
Because they know you invented him?
No, he does exist.
No.
It's true. I got to clarify. I mean, you can't just go around slandering the legacy of Fatty Arbuckle on a 50,000-watt blowtorch.
Guy was dead by 45. You think it was the diet?
True story. I once played Fatty Arbuckle in a play in the 90s, and I was like, wow, can we do something about the name? I don't really like the answer was no. That was the guy's name. Like, what if we change that a little bit?
No,
you can't. It's true. It was a good show, though.
I mean, if your name was Roscoe Conkling Arbuckle, would you go by Fatty, too?
Well, Fatty was paying the bills, man. Fatty was getting it done. We'll expand. We'll explain.
Top five fatties in history. We'll discuss that.
You know,
next.
We'll work on that. We'll smoke one during the break. And we'll talk OJ next on 670 The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.